One Sunday morning, a pastor noticed little Johnny was staring up at the large plaque hung in the foyer of the church. The seven-year-old had been staring at the plaque for some time, so the pastor walked up, stood beside the boy, and said quietly, "Good morning, son." "Good morning, pastor," replied the young man, focused still on the plaque. "Sir, what is this?" Johnny asked. "Well, son, these are all of the people who have died in the service," replied the pastor. Soberly, they stood together, staring at the large plaque. Little Johnny's voice barely broke the silence when he quietly asked, "Which one, sir, the 8:30 or the 10:30 service?" Most of you have heard that before, because I've told it before, but I thought it was kind of cute. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is Veterans Day weekend, as I've already mentioned, and I want to remind all of us that we are all called into His service. It's kind of funny, before I started the message, I asked that the veterans who, you know, were here stand up, and they had been in His service. But when I said it, I actually said, "All those who have been in the service, stand up." Well, that would have been all of you, because you've all been in the service here, kinda, but not the same. When I say, though, we've been in the service, sometimes I think it would be good for us if we would kind of apply to the idea of the service that we're in as the service that we give to God as His, if you will, His warriors. Do you see yourself as warriors? I think sometimes that part of our Christian heritage, that part of our, identity. Interesting, huh? That part of our identity is a little on the missing side. And I think, you know, yes, we want to, blessed are the peacekeepers. Of course, isn't it funny that a lot of soldiers wear uniforms and are sent to places as peacekeepers? There is a soldier aspect to us, and I think sometimes we spend a little less time as soldiers and more time as sons, or, if you will, more time as, if you think about it this way, just as civilians. In modern warfare, and this is another thing that affects us in how we think about warfare, because the Bible talks about it, but, you know, we're a couple of generations of people now, actually, who haven't been horribly affected by war. Some of you, you know, veterans stood, and you went to war. I don't think we've got anybody left in here for World War II. We've got Korean and Vietnam wars, and the Korean War was, did they ever call it a war, or did they call it a police action? Well, kind of. And, you know, and it's funny, because the war in Vietnam, it was a horrible war, don't get me wrong, but there have been there's since the Civil War, our country actually has had less and less men killed in service than we did previous. I mean, if you go back to the Civil War, everybody had somebody killed. And it's actually been less and less numerically. Doesn't make it any less horrible. But today, I mean, I graduated from high school the year that they stopped taking people in the draft for Vietnam. So, well, I think they stopped in 72, but we were the last class to sign up for the draft, I think, 75. It was right in that era. I had a number, but I wasn't going to have to go. I knew that, you know. I was out. It wasn't going to happen to me. And I knew that before before I got to the end of my high school career. And since then, we haven't had a draft where people have been told, you got to come and you got to fight. And even then, our fighting, I mean, we haven't had wars on our soil. World War II touched our soil a little bit, but not much. And since then, everything about war is somewhere else. You know, it's not right here with us. And by the way, you may think, you may not know, there have been wars throughout history where the soldiers, you know, lined up and fought and the civilians watched. But here's the real reality. The vast majority of wars throughout history, there wasn't a lot of safe places for civilians to watch from. And in fact, a lot of the armies, even when they were told by their kings, don't touch the civilians, they did anyway. So for the vast majority of the history of mankind, war was something that if you were in it, everybody was in it. Like they didn't fight with groups, you know, two teams representing us. It wasn't football. It was ugly and it was nasty. So when Paul was writing this, he was talking about war where everybody was in it. Everybody was involved in it. We fight a devil who does not discriminate. If you are on God's side, you're in a war. And you're a soldier whether you want to be or not, because he's going to make sure that he attacks you. In fact, he very much plans to steal, kill, and destroy when it comes to your life. So sometimes when we just kind of sit back in our, if you will, comfortable Christian atmosphere, we're not thinking about the responsibility that we carry, nor the benefit, if you will, of being a warrior and taking it to the devil instead of having him take it to us. How many think it would be better for us to take it to the devil than to have him taking it to us all the time? And I'll just say this. The civilian mentality, and I sometimes have it too, is, woe is me, the devil's beating up on me. And the military, militant warrior mentality is, oh, you didn't do that. I'm going to take you down. I'm coming after you. I'm going to hurt you. That's the warrior mentality that sometimes, you know, we're just kind of getting beat up and we're not ready to dish it back out. So based on today's text, there's a war going on. And where is this war going on? Well, this is kind of interesting too. I don't want to say that the war isn't going on all around us, because in a very strong way it is. But at the same time, it's not just in the natural or even mainly in the natural. It's in the supernatural. Oh, yeah. So there are manifestations in this realm, but there's a whole lot more going on in the other realm that's causing the manifestation in this realm. And so all of us really need to be warriors, spirit, soul, and body. We need to be in this, and I'm in it to win it. So there are three things that stood out in our text that I noticed particularly. Strongholds, arguments, or in the King James Version and some other versions, it says imaginations and thoughts. That was the main, it talks about the weapons of our warfare, and then it tells us where to go to use those weapons. And I couldn't help but think to myself, strongholds. Let's name some strongholds. Anybody got an idea of a stronghold that the enemy uses against people? Maybe he's used it against you. Got any strongholds? Ohio State fans, that's a stronghold of the enemy. It is for some of you who are less enlightened. I think that might be a imagination on your part. But anyway, we'll get back to strongholds. We'll go to imaginations in a minute. No. Anybody got a stronghold? Low self-esteem. What? Somebody else say something? Fear. Yeah. Wrote a whole book on that. And what? Rejection. Yeah. You know, it's the kind of stuff, you're not good enough, you'll never be able to, all those kind of strongholds that get into us, which cross into those imaginations or arguments, because we start making arguments about why God can't tell us to do what we're supposed to do. By the way, don't feel bad if you're in that boat. That was where Moses was at. God said, Moses, you're going to do this. He's like, I think you got the wrong guy here. I know I'm out in the desert and I'm the only one around right now, but like picking me is a bad thing. I can't talk. I can't do this. I can't do that. Right? So you're not alone if in your imagination, in the picture that you have in your mind, you don't think you're up to this. You don't think you're strong enough. I battle that. By the way, pastors battle it a lot. Sometimes people help us. That stupid pastor, I can't believe he said that, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. We make ourselves a good target sometimes. Sometimes all of us get the wrong picture. Have you ever gotten the wrong picture in your mind, in your imagination? You get the wrong picture about something, and then your reaction to it is wrong because you've got the wrong picture, so you're... Yeah. And that's how fear and doubt creeps in. You get the wrong picture. We start making arguments in our own mind against why we can't do what God's asking us to do. Because our imaginations are wrong. And thoughts... I tell you what I think of when I heard him say, you know, taking these thoughts captive. I struggle with sometimes trying to figure everything out. Are you one of those people? I want answers, and I want them now. And God is revealing himself sometimes in a way that he can't explain it right now. And if he did, I wouldn't get it anyway. And even if I did get it, I might not do it. And we've laughed about this. I've mentioned this before. My wife was sure she was not going to marry a pastor. She didn't want to. She grew up in a pastor's home. She knew what it would look like. Has it looked anything like your house? Really? Because everybody's on their own journey. You know, it's not been what she thought it was going to be. And to tell you the truth, it's not been what I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to be, you know, part of the next Petra. That was my original intent in ministry. Just rock and roll for Jesus. You know, I wasn't going to do this. So how do we fight this fight? There are tons of things we could talk about. But we sang to start out today. For 2 weeks in a row. That doesn't happen very often, but I intentionally did it today. I didn't know. What's funny is I wrote the song list for this week back on like Monday and was checking into some things and trying to figure out what songs. And we had a couple of new songs and we only sang one because Melissa wasn't feeling well today. And so we sang a couple of other new songs and I sent it out Tuesday or Wednesday whenever I sent it out. But I didn't know what I was preaching until yesterday. And I was going another direction, even yesterday, and that's when the Lord began to speak to me about being in his service. And the whole Veterans Day thing was like on my mind, and then I was like, but we should all be, and some of you are, when it comes to Christianity, you're veterans. You've been in a war for a long time now. And you're going to continue to be at war. And that's okay. But we sang that song this morning, Raise a Hallelujah. And it says, I raise a hallelujah, my weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah, heaven comes to fight for me. That's a neat little synopsis, if you will, of how God wants us to fight. Sometimes we don't as much fight as we raise a hallelujah. And that's how we fight. That's the best way to fight. Now, a lot of you are familiar with a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And you can read the whole chapter if you want to. But if I mention it, a lot of you will, bing, the light will come on. You remember the story. There was this king named Jehoshaphat. Remember that guy? And there was this huge compilation of multiple armies that came at him. And they were coming at him, and they were like, I think one of the verses says something like, you know, their camels were like the sand of the seashore. It's like you couldn't count them all. It was nuts. It was this huge, massive group. And Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do. And so he turned the heart of the people. Everybody just turned to the Lord and said, what do we do? And a prophet told them what to do. And they did what the prophet said. And what the prophet said made no sense. So I wonder about Jehoshaphat's imaginations when the prophet said, you're going to take these guys from Judah over here that are singers and you're going to put them in front of the army. And when they go out in front of the army, then the Lord will take care of the enemy. And you remember the story. That's what they did. But I wondered about that. I wondered about, because the weapons of his warfare that day were not carnal, were they? They were mighty through God. But I got to imagine his imaginations. Like when the prophet said, yeah, just take these guys over here and put them out in front of the army and they're going to worship. And as they go out, the enemy will turn on itself. And Jehoshaphat's like, I just wonder if he looked at the guy and went, we're all going to die anyway. Okay. To which the guys from Judah went, yeah, but we got to die first. You know, the guys from Judah were probably like, whoa, wait a minute. We're going to do what? We're going to take the worshipers? We're going to put them first? I mean, if a few of us escape, at least there'd be a couple of people to sing at your funeral. Come on. But that's what they did. And their weapons were not carnal, but they were mighty. And they broke the enemy. And the enemy was completely destroyed. The weapons of our warfare are often weapons of worship. And we find a lot of worship in the Psalms. So today, I'm going to remind you of something that I've talked about before, but a few Hebrew words found in the Psalms. And I want to encourage you. And if I don't encourage you, at least I can encourage me, because there have been some things that have come at us in recent days. And it's really easy when these things come at us. And I mean us, Lisa and I, and us, this congregation, and us, God's people. And, you know, a lot of times you're scratching your head. Like I said, you have thoughts. I have thoughts. Well, this needs to be done, and that needs to be done, and I'm trying to figure it all out. And what God wants to do is invite me into what David used to do in the Psalms and being a person of worship. And when we do that, it leads us into the kind of victory that God really designed us for. See, we are designed for victory, but sometimes we're not fighting the fight on his terms, we're fighting the fight on our terms. Yeah, you never do that, do you? Lisa never does that. The rest of us, but Lisa's different. Yeah, well, she is different, yeah, but not that way. Okay, so yeah, so we all struggle with this. So I'm just reminding me as much as I'm reminding you. Now, I just want to mention this too. How many of you that served in the military had drill sergeants? Yeah, how many of you have ever seen a drill sergeant? How many know they are the favorite, most cuddly people on the base? They're the ones that you just like, yeah, you know. No, the drill sergeants are the ones that get chewed out because they just work you to the bone. If you feel like you're being worked over a little bit today, if you feel like I might be reminding you of something that you already think you know, and you probably do, I'm just trying to drill it into you. But I'm bummed. And the reason drill sergeants are so effective is because they drill the people over and over and over until those people reach a point where they know how to do and how to respond in the way that they should when the battle comes. So if I'm hitting a well-paved, a well-trodden path today, it's okay. You know, we sang that song, I'll Raise a Hallelujah. Psalm 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his firmament. Praise him in his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the timbrel and harp. Praise him with the cymbal and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. We used to sing this when I was a hippie. Yeah, some of you never heard that one sang. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him on the highest sounding cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's how we used to sing it. The Hebrew word for praise, everywhere it says praise in here, is hallelujah or halal. The halal that creates the word hallelujah. Luya, Yah is God. So praise the Lord. Halal God. That's what hallelujah is. By the way, one of the most recognized words on the planet. You can say hallelujah almost anywhere on the planet and they'll know exactly what you're talking about. Halal means to praise the Lord by celebrating, by dancing, by shining forth, by acting clamorously foolish. I like this word a lot because I can do this. Like, I got this down. Being clamorously foolish is something that I've been good at most of my life. Some people are shy. They're not clamorously foolish. I really don't have a shy bone in my body. And I've just always been out there. And, you know, it's easy for me. Anytime you see hallelujah in the Bible, you are seeing the word halal. And I just have to ask this one question. When it comes to praise and worship, have you ever felt foolish? Okay. And if you haven't, maybe that's because you haven't yet praised to that level. What if I told you that being clamorously foolish and praising the Lord and shining forth and being just really out there is actually a level of praise and worship that God has a great appreciation for, even if some of the people around you don't? Wow. Now, I mean, you can take it too far. I've seen people whack other people with flags and, you know, don't hurt anybody. Don't, yeah, in somebody's ear. But it's not bad to go, yeah. Actually, that's another word in the Hebrew, but we'll get to that in a minute. The halal is the most repeated type of praise in the entire Bible. So of all the praise that God prescribes, and I'm going to give you several other words that refer to different types of praise, the most prescribed prayer in the Bible is just going crazy for Jesus. Yeah! Why would he want us to do that? Why do you ask? If there's a resistance inside of me to do what he told me to do, it might be that resistance itself that he's trying to overcome. As a drill sergeant, let me drill this into you. Stop it! Was this the most popular praise among the Hebrews? Is that why it's the most popular word among the Hebrews? Or is it possible that it's in the Bible so much because God might like it too? Just asking. But here's the thing. The focus of our praise should be about Him, not us. Way too often I hear people judging the power of praise and worship or the power of a praise and worship service by how it affected them and how it made them feel. Oh. The real question should be, how did it make God feel? Look, sometimes we just get too old. But have you ever seen a kid who was really excited about something that was going on, and when you told them something, they were so glad to hear it that they just couldn't stay. That's hallelujah right there. That's hallelujah. And if you don't have that feeling toward God, oh, sorry. Something may be missing. That if you had it, would be good for you, would be helpful to you, would give you the opportunity to get the breakthrough that you need in battle, because this is a weapon of our warfare. It's a weapon of our warfare. When we make it primarily about us, I think we are missing something and feeling awkward and foolish in a time of praise might be a sign that you've stepped outside of yourself and stepped into another realm. Let me say that again. Feeling awkward or foolish in a time of praise might be a sign that you have stepped outside yourself and stepped into another realm. I've heard people say, "That's not for me. That's just not how I am." I thought you were dead to yourself and alive to God. But let me just answer that this way instead. "That's not for me." Actually, it is for you. It is for you. And I'm not saying that as in you have to. It's something, it's not even something you have to do, but it is for you. It's for your benefit and for your victory. When we do what he's prescribed for us to do according to the scripture, the way they did it in the scripture, and when we allow ourselves to be whatever he's, and I'm right now, I'm still on hallelujah. When I allow myself to live that way, to be that way, to let that exuberance flow out of me and let it be manifest to the world around me, it's not just good for the world around me, but it is good for the world around me, but it's really good for me. It changes me. It helps me. It accomplishes something in me. Even if I don't look at what it might accomplish in overcoming the wicked one in the world where I have a fight. In fact, the things that God asks us to do are always more for us than they are for him. Let me say that again. The things that God asks us to do are always more for us than they are for him. Too many of us have imprinted earthly fathers who did things and they asked us to do something for the sake of the family, or maybe because they didn't want to have to do it themselves. You know, mow the grass, kid. I got just mow it. You know, do as you're told. Earthly fathers may demand something from us for their benefit or their good. But our Heavenly Father, everything he tells us to do is his command to us so that we can be developed into what he wants us to be. He's molding me into being like Jesus. His commands aren't grievous for us to do's that we have to do just because he wants to see whether we'll jump through the hoops. That's not it. What he's asking us to do will transform our lives and turn us into the warriors that he wants us to be. Does anybody here remember the Karate Kid? Wax on, wax off. Wax on, if you remember that. Then the day came when he was like, "You're just taking advantage of me to polish your car and paint your fence and do this and do that." And he goes, "Hit!" And he sticks his hand out and wax on, knocks the hand away, and the kid has a revelation. Oh, everything you've been having me do was to build up my muscles so that I could do this. Heavenly Father's way better than Mr. Miyagi. Just saying. Way better. God is not irritated by our lack of response. Let me say that again too. God is never irritated by our lack of response. Don't let anybody put that on you. That's an earthly father. That's not the heavenly father. God does not feel less like God just because we don't worship him the way he commands us to worship him. God's not up there in heaven. I've said this before, patting his foot going, "I can't believe you act like that." God's not even embarrassed about you. You're not embarrassed about me. As I told you years ago, driving down Baltimore, I think it was, or maybe it was on my way back from Fort Wayne. God, yeah, actually I was over, I remember now. I was over by where the Christian bookstore used to be, Anchor Room, driving on whatever street that is over there. And I was just having a bad day, and I said, God, I'm so glad you love me when I'm stupid. And he goes, "I have to love you when you were stupid. Otherwise, I'd never get to love you, son." He's not embarrassed about me. I make a lot of mistakes. He knows. You know, you do know he doesn't need our help to get his will done on the earth, right? Like, he could do it without us. He could. So he chose to involve us. He's calling us to do these things so that we come into our destiny. And he's not yelling at us for our failure to do so. He leads us into battle, but not because he needs the victory. He leads us into battle because we need the victory. Yeah. And by the way, if you hear a prophet or somebody speaking on behalf of God, and you know, they say that God wants us to worship, that's a good thing. But if you hear a prophet and they prophesy that God's demanding that you do this and demanding that you do that, just understand they probably got a spot on their lens. It needs to be adjusted a little bit, wiped off there. God is calling us into the pursuit of all that he has for us. And he's trying to get us to do that so that we'll receive all that he has for us. He's a loving father. And he is calling us into the liberty that makes us free. Free to be powerful warriors. Free to be effective in fighting off the enemy. Free to break strongholds in our own lives and in the lives of others. I want to be that. God has always wanted relationship and not religion. So lifting our hands is because, you know, we want to say, Papa. And if someone tells you to lift your hands or else, that might seem to you to be obedience, but it's not what God's looking for. He's looking for an expression of our relationship to him. So with all that said, because I added a big section in there between all the words of the book of Psalms, I just want to make sure that I'm not giving you a list of things you have to do. I want to give you a list of things you get to do. You get to be clamorously foolish. Well, I don't want to be. Well, get over it. Because you're missing out. It's fun. Yeah, yeah. Lisa will definitely show you how. God wants us to have a value and a relationship with him that is so exciting that we don't even realize. You know those little kids, when daddy's home and they're excited that daddy's home, they don't know what they're doing. They're just, yeah. It's fun. We go over a lot of times when we go over to see our grandkids in Auburn. My son's not home yet from work. And when we get there, they're looking out the window, watching for us, you know, all excited, can't wait till we get there. And then when daddy's home, ah, daddy, yeah! They twirl and whirl and run and jump. And very childlike, huh? Yeah. Not only is halal the number one word, a great word for how we ought to praise the Lord, just this free expression, just going for it with everything we've got kind of a thing. There's another one called Shabak. It's to praise the Lord with a shout or a loud voice. Everybody say, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
If that feels a little unnatural, you just need to drill it until you get it. The more you do it, the more natural it'll be. Why? Not my personality. You forgot you died again. Hallelujah! Yeah, I said, I'm not really ready to do it yet. Come on, one, two, three. Hallelujah! Yeah. That should be natural to us. And we ought to be drilling ourselves to make that more natural to us. Psalm 63:3 says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall shabak you. He loves me. It's so good that he loves me. Ah! That was a little combination. Halal Shabak right there. Getting a little crazy. A little nuts. I think his loving kindness should make all of us want to shout. And why should we shout it, by the way? So everybody around us will know about it. It's another reason to shout it. Because it draws people to, what's the shouting about? God is just amazing. What? He loves us. Oh, you're one of those nuts, aren't you? Yeah. You know, the thing is, Mark got up today
And he says, OH, and a bunch of people said, I-O. All right, you know, there's a whole bunch of crazy people in a stadium in Columbus yesterday. There were actually stadiums all over the country. Yesterday, I probably watched a little bit more football than I have all year. Our niece and nephew came with our great nephew, and they hung out at the house, and my niece's husband, he is a big Ohio State fan, so we had to find the Ohio State game and watch the game while he was there, and then we were talking football. So, yeah, I actually had the Ohio State game on for the whole game yesterday, first time all year. I am an Ohio State fan, but I'm just not rabid, maybe, about it. But there were all those people in the stands, and then there was game after game after game yesterday. It was a crazy day in college football yesterday, if you follow that stuff. Lots of people. Did you notice that the stands were full of people who didn't think there was anything wrong with going, yeah! They didn't think a thing about it. And by the way, there'll be stadiums full of people today screaming about football because it's Sunday. We got something better than football. Yeah, we do. That should have got them. You should be going, yeah! We got something better than football! Yeah! There's another form of praise that I'll mention while I'm on the subject. Yada. To praise the Lord with your hands or hand movements. That's related to that. Woohoo! Yeah, God! Whoa! I love you, Jesus! Yes! I will worship toward your holy temple and yada your name. Praise your name. I will lift my hands up in your name. When we lift our hands, it implies surrender and give direction to our praise. It gets us, you know, again, this praising the Lord with your hands lifted wasn't so that God would feel better. I mean, you know, yeah, God wants your, he wants your armpits showing where you're sweating. Yes, that's what, that's not what, it wasn't about you. It is about you in that it's helping you refocus yourself so that you get where you need to be when it comes to worship. That's why we do that during our worship time. We lift our hands. You don't have to, but you get to. And 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I would that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. I think it's totally appropriate. You know, we live in a very, I don't know whether you've noticed this or not, we live in a flamboyant day. Have you noticed the flamboyance of our day? There are a lot of flamboyant people out there. You walk down through our town and see multiple colors of hair that are totally unnatural. Bulldog blue, hot pink. You name it, it's out there. Flamboyant. People dress wild and crazy. People, they just, yeah, we got people who wear two different color shoes. Think about it. What kind of crazy people do that? I'm not going there. Okay, so the thing is, I get feedback once in a while. If you're watching, you don't want to hear it. So anyway, why shouldn't we lift our hands and thank the Lord whenever it's appropriate? And who's to say when it's appropriate anymore? Because there's a lot of stuff going on everywhere, and there's no reason why you can't appropriately direct your mind toward God by lifting your hands, and maybe some other people will kind of go, oh, and be drawn in. And maybe the battle that's coming at you just got thwarted because your praise went up and the enemy's plans went down. Another word, toda. The sacrifices of praise, which amplifies a sustained singing, It also refers to praising the Lord as a processing choir or a parade. We've had times even in this church. It's kind of fun. It just happened. People started marching around the church. I've been in services at other places where people just started marching around the church. Nothing wrong with that. Just get in and have a good time. Whoever offers todah glorifies me. We sing the song, "He who offereth praise glorifieth me." Any of you ever sing that chorus? That's in the scripture as well. Psalm 50, verse 23. Zamar. It's playing instruments, referring mainly to stringed instruments, but it's instruments in general. Psalm 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give zamar. The Lord loves it when we play instruments for Him, and I am so thankful that we have some musicians who do pretty well. They do pretty good. We could probably be really spit and polished if we had more time to come in and practice our little fingers to the nubs and work a little harder. But you know what? We just have a good time every Sunday morning. We get to worship God, and it's fun. It's fun. Are you thankful for our musicians? Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap? Use your hands and praise Him. Yeah, come on. By the way, I said hand motions. I forgot to add clapping as part of that. That's all part of yada, clapping your hands to the Lord. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give zamar. I will just do what I can do to play an instrument for you and beat on it more often than not. If you've never noticed, by the way, take a look at my flat top guitar sometime. There's a whole section of the hole where I've hit it so often with the pick and beat on it so hard that there's wood just splintered away. And one of these days it won't be a circle, it'll be an oval as pieces of it begin to break away. Because I'm not really much of a guitar player, but I am a guitar beater. Another word is tehillah. It's praise from your spirit. The residual song of the Lord from the heart of the believer. If you're ever in here and we're singing a song and it's new and you don't know it, just go for it. The words are on the wall, but if you can't make them fit, if some dumb pastor started the song too fast, like the last one today, and you just can't get them out because it's just going too fast, you can't talk that fast, it's okay. Just lift your hands up and worship Him and sing whatever comes. And I think that not only refers to just making up your own words sometimes to things, or just worshiping Him and just telling Him how much you love Him in the middle of a song. And by the way, we've got those places in the song sometimes where we just have an instrumental break. Some of the people on the platform will start singing. You sing too. Just let her rip. Sing in the spirit and sing in the natural. Sing words you know and sing words you don't know as the Spirit gives you utterance, as the Scripture says. That's what that kind of praise is about. Psalm 22:3 says, "But you are holy, enthroned in the Tehillah of Israel." That kind of spiritual thing is where God really sits down to rule in your life. Powerful. One version says that God inhabits the Tehillah of His people. Sometimes the best thing you can do when you're feeling far from God is just begin to sing in the Spirit on your own. A lot of mornings I come into this building trying to get the building ready before you all get here. This morning I came in extra early to try to practice a song that I wasn't sure I knew. Most of the time I unlock the doors. I forgot to today. Thank you, Matt, for taking care of the doors for me. When I'm going around unlocking doors, a lot of times I just pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit and I just worship. Nobody's in here. I can get loud. I can get clamorously foolish. Nobody knows. But it's a good drill for me. It's a good practice for me. It's good to see if I'm really in the Lord's army. If I'm really in his service. Barak. What? Yeah, it's a praise word. I bet you thought it was a president. It means to praise the Lord by kneeling or bowing. Sometimes we're not being clamorously foolish. Sometimes we're on our face before God and recognizing him and how great he is. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us barak before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 95 and verse 6. Sometimes it's just the presence of God is there. Or even if you don't recognize the presence of God, you know that you know that you know, and this is what I need to do, and down I go. So let's wrap this up by going back to the very first word, halal. I want to read from Psalm 135, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. We start almost every praise session here standing. It's strongly connected to praise in the Bible. You'll see standing going with a lot of the worship and praise. I'm not saying you can't do it while you're sitting, but what I'm saying is your posture is also involved in all this. Like sometimes what you need to do is you just need to move yourself out of one posture and into another. You just need to relocate yourself. I just need to relocate myself. I need to say, okay, this is time for me to get with it, with what God's doing. It's time for me to worship. It's time for me to honor him. And so when you come in to worship, I want to encourage you. There are times when it's really easy to sit back and be a civilian. And then there's times when it's so good for you and so good for everybody around you for you to be a little bit more militant, a little more radical, a little more determined that you are going to move yourself out of whatever's been going on during the week, whatever's been going on maybe that day before you got here, to move yourself into a new place, to determine, I will praise him. I will worship him. I will halal. I will shout. I will bow down. I will do whatever I have to do to get myself out of where I am and into where I need to be. And that's why we do that little thing at the beginning where we talk about being the one to worship him, where we talk about putting aside all the distractions, refocusing ourselves. With all these forms of worship, God is inviting us into a deeper level of his presence. With all these forms of worship, God is inviting us into another level of his presence. Not that his presence isn't fully here, but we're just not fully able to grab hold of it. We're not fully able to participate in it. We're not fully aware of what God is doing. And so we don't get into it. Now, somebody's going to say, well, doesn't the Bible say be silent before the Lord? It does. There's a time to be silent before the Lord. And by the way, and when you get to heaven, there's a specific passage in Revelation that tells us that there will be silence in heaven for a half an hour. You can't find silence in heaven anywhere in the Bible except for that Revelation scripture. And the scripture says there will be silence for one half an hour. You better get used to it, people. You're going to spend eternity going, yeah! Well, it'll be easier then because I'm dead. I thought you were dead already. I thought those who are in Christ have already died. Behold, all things are made new. I know I'm not there yet. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. If you're feeling condemned on this, it's not me. Tell the devil to shut up. And if it's the Holy Spirit convicting you, don't tell him to shut up. Bad idea.
But I believe that if we'll yield to what God is directing us to do, and if we'll be outward worshipers, if we'll be really people who focus on God, that he will take us into greater levels of victory. That we'll see Jehoshaphat's miracle in our lives as we worship him, and the enemies that are coming against us begin to crash and burn one after another. I believe this is a glorious opportunity to do more if we can just believe it with our heart and not hide from it. Hide it in your heart. Don't hide from it in your heart. So, doubt and fear and all the imaginations that go with it can be overcome with the weapons of our warfare. And I've given you a list of forms of praise that you can use against the enemies and whip him. And whip him good. Let's all stand up together. I want to combine three of these right now. You ready? Here's what this looks like. I want to do a Shabak with Yada and Halal. So, what did you just say? I can't remember. I wasn't taking notes. Even if I was, I'd have to look it up. How about this? A shout filled with lifted or clapping hands and a little bit of clamor. Just going a little crazy with your shout. Do you dare risk it today? You're safe here. I'm not asking you to go out and do it at the mall. Do it. I would, it'd be great if you'd do it at the mall. But I'm not trying to. See, the people here already know you're crazy. You attend this church. So they're not going to think anything different about you if you go just a little crazy right now. And if we, on the count of three, when I count there, if we just lift our hands and we shout a little bit, and we just decide that we're just going to be just a little. And here's what I want you to do. Close your eyes so you're not looking at the other person, so they don't have to if they don't want to.
It's not
going
to happen.
I don't want to. Yeah. Tom's looking at you. He's looking. He's taking notes. Now, before we do this, though, I want to associate it with something. All right? Before we give this great shout, and we're not going to do it for, you don't have to do it for real long, but if we do it for a little bit of time, it'll be okay. I want you to think with me a second. So I'm going to pray over you. And when I pray over you, now you'll start thinking. Holy Spirit, I ask you to put in our minds a particular battle that we have facing us. Father, you know the things that sometimes are facing us. You know the things that we you know the armies that are coming against us like the armies that came against Jehoshaphat. And so, Lord, as we give you a praise this morning, we are declaring victory over that in Jesus' name. So now, you got something in your mind? I got too many. I got to grab one. Wait a minute. Okay, I picked one. I'm going to give the Lord a shout this morning and stick my hands up in the air and clap them real hard. And I'm just going to be a little nuts right up here in front of everybody on Facebook. They're not even going to see you. They're only going to see me. Maybe I should get off of Facebook. It might scare somebody. They'll be like, oh, look at that poor man. Somebody send an ambulance. Anyway. All right. On three, I want you to shout victory over whatever was put on your mind, and let's kick some devil backside this morning. One, two, three. Hallelujah! Woo! Yeah! Oh! Yeah, God! Amen, 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 amen! Oh! That wasn't too bad for a bunch of people from Defiance. All right.